Freddy Mays.
Party people in the place to be. Uh-huh. It's about that time for us to.
Yeah. Welcome in. Final hour of the week for me. I'm taking some vacation tomorrow. It's going to turn into the Lucas Panzeca show. But until then, this is still my show, I think. And we're happy to have you guys here for the remainder of it today. We're with you until 1 o'clock. Ron Slay is going to be somewhere around the show at some point, whether he's in here, whether he's on the phone, whether he's hanging out in the Boom Boom Room. We'll find Slay and we'll bring him to you because the NBA draft is tonight. We're going to get into Kennedy Chandler's prospects specifically as it relates to, is he a first-round pick or not? 615-737-1045. How you jump in on the conversation, if you so choose. 615-737-1045 is the number. So, we had spent some time on the Deshaun Watson stuff with Dan Lust earlier today. And I've been wondering, you know, how big a suspension, how many games, is it an entire season? Do they look at Calvin Ridley getting a whole season for gambling, you know, $1,500 worth of gambling on a Falcons game and say, yeah, this, you know, the guy with a lot of sexual assault allegations against him, just to be, you know, kind about it, basically. Yeah, that dude should probably sit a little longer than the guy who bet $1,500 on a Falcons game. Maybe, just maybe. What might this look like? And in so doing, you know, I asked Dan Lust, are the show's unofficial sports attorney, because if we make him the official one, we have to pay him, even though I think we should probably, like, I don't know, I should probably Venmo Dan for saying that we're one of the best shows in the country because of our ability to tie in Always Sunny in Philadelphia anecdotes into Roger Goodell's congressional testimonial yesterday. What are you going to do? But I asked Dan Lust earlier in the show, basically what to expect now that Watson has settled 20 of the 24 civil suits being filed against him. Four suits remain. This was Dan Lust, the attorney, earlier in the show.
So I'll give you the big takeaway, which I know I've said on your show before. A couple months ago, there was a deal in place to send him to Miami.
Yeah.
And I think the Dolphins wanted all of the cases settled. So Watson did his negotiation, whatever he did, and the reports are that 18 of 22 women were willing to settle at that point for some amount of money. It's been reported that it was $100,000 per plaintiff, but Watson has not confirmed that. But key number, four holdouts. You fast forward to this past week, and you have 20 of 24 cases that are settled. Again, four holdouts. So what does that mean moving forward? I mean, this deal to get rid of all these cases but four has seemingly been on the table for months, and now all of a sudden Watson is inclined to accept that.
Yeah.
So I think if the Browns are forcing that issue, that this deal would have been accepted probably 2-3 months ago. But what's on the horizon, right? It's the NFL suspension. So my read on this is that the NFL probably said behind the scenes, hey, this would probably look better if you can make these go away. Settle as many as you can before we issue some type of suspension here, and we'll maybe take it under consideration. Certainly the NFL is saying that the settlement has nothing to do with the disciplinary proceedings. But, you know, actions speak louder than words. And I think Watson settling the vast majority of cases, obviously that's good news if you're the NFL.
So, will there be any leverage on the side of Deshaun Watson, his representation, and the NFLPA, who is contractually obligated to negotiate on behalf of Deshaun Watson? If he's paying union dues, then the NFLPA has to go to bat for him. So, this is the question that's kind of been hanging out there. Does the 20 settlements against the four cases still outstanding, does that change anything for the league? Optically, I would say yes, but I don't feel great about the yes. You know what I mean? Like, just because he's settled 20 of them, there's still four out there, which means there are still four women who feel strongly enough about the circumstance who aren't after his money specifically, which is an allegation that many people were lobbing at these women. And I think the HBO Real Sports putting names, faces, and voices to the allegations against Deshaun Watson, I think, has made a great deal of difference. But would this impact Deshaun Watson's upcoming suspension? Because there's going to be a suspension. It's just a matter of how many games. So Josina Anderson, who I believe is currently with CBS, she tweeted, I'm told that there have been recent attempts by the NFL, the NFLPA, and Deshaun Watson's advisors to negotiate a discipline settlement. However, talks involving a potential number of games missed, quote, fell apart, not being on the same page. As of now, process moves forward per league sources. So what do you think happened there? Because, you know, that's the information that we have at our disposal. The NFL, the NFLPA, and Watson's advisors tried to get together and figure something out. Maybe not a full season, Raj. Well, I guess it's not Raj anymore, is it? They're negotiating with somebody who's not Roger Goodell. So maybe not a full season. What do you think about half a season? I don't know. This is still pretty bad. Like, this has been headlines for a year and a half of you being allegedly a bit of a sexual deviant that we need to get under control. And now a franchise has just handed you $230 million guaranteed, and we got to deal with it. So, no, I don't think six games going to cut it. I think this is still trending towards a year-long suspension for Deshaun. I truly do. I don't know how it can be anything but that, even if the case numbers have gone down substantially due to settlement. I think that the allegations, the reporting by the New York Times, has done a great deal of damage, not just to the case for Watson, but to the league, given that one of their franchises was implicated in potentially providing him a place to get these massage appointments, and in the case of the Houston Texans, somebody on the staff providing him with an NDA. Many, many questions there. I would love to hear the Texans side of the story as to why that came about. Settling is interesting. And of course, it's in the benefit, or to the benefit, of Deshaun Watson optically. But as far as the league is concerned, I don't think that the optics are changing at any point in time. I think they are going to continue. And I say this without having talked to league decision makers in full transparency, right? Josina Anderson here is citing sources. Again, I'm told there have been recent attempts by the NFL, the NFLPA, and Deshaun Watson's advisors to negotiate a discipline settlement. However, talks involving a potential number of games missed, quote, fell apart, not being on the same page. As of now, process moves forward per league sources. So Josina's talking to people in the league office, in all likelihood, and probably people with Deshaun's camp. I know she was at the Deshaun press conference ahead of mandatory minicamp recently. So she's talking to people who will be a part of the decision-making process. I'm just looking at this from an optic standpoint and looking at different precedent throughout the course of the NFL's history. And there, frankly, has not been precedent for something like Deshaun. What's the closest example? Roethlisberger? And that was two accusations as opposed to 24, and two still out there, by the way. It was reported that 26 were going to be filed. I'm not sure what's happened in the last week or so since the additional two were reported as being next in line to file civilly against Deshaun. But the four that remain, and the reporting done by the New York Times, I don't think the league is going to settle in the same way that Watson just did. Go to the phones. Oh, what happened there? Lucas, what happened there?
What do you mean?
What do you mean? What do I mean?
Oh, do you want to talk about the College World Series?
Not right now.
Okay, we'll do it later.
Okay, very good. 615-737-1045.
I do love the line in the Josina Anderson report about not being on the same page.
Well,
from Watson's team. I immediately picture, we propose no games missed. Okay, yeah. All right.
Well, what would you say to, what was the Jameis Winston suspension? Wasn't it like a quarter that he had to sit out with Jimbo at Florida State? Right? I can't remember if this was after the crab legs or after there was alleged behavior in an Uber, because Winston had a couple of situations.
Yeah, there were a few.
Like this. But yes, I do like the visual or the imagined conversation of Deshaun Watson side of the argument. Just be like, no games?
What if there was no punishment whatsoever? Would that be so crazy?
What if he just played? What do you think about that?
Think about it. Week one. Now, hear me out. We miss no games.
It's a hell of a lot better draw for that Panthers-Browns game week one as opposed to Jake Brissett versus Sam Darnold, you know, without the ickiness that inherently comes now with the name of Deshaun Watson. Yeah, I'd be curious to see what further developments come out of this. But, I mean, my read of what Josina has just reported is that the NFL wants the full year. All right, now to the phones. Chase in White House wants to talk about Deshaun. Hello, Chase.
What's going on, guys? Yeah, I was going to say you guys compared it to the betting or whatever, and just as a whole, you know, if we don't look at it from a moral standpoint, obviously if he was doing the things that have been said, you know, morally and I guess like law-wise, it would be worse. Mm-hmm. But for the NFL, the betting, I mean, if they don't put a sock in that as quick as possible, things could get out of hand. People could start thinking the games don't matter, the outcomes are fixed, all these type of things. So I think that's why they went so hard at that. Whereas on this end of it, it's one player, really. And, you know, it doesn't so much affect the whole NFL as the betting could if it got widespread and, you know, multiple players get caught doing that and all those kind of things.
Oh, 1,000% agree, Chase. And it's a great point that you've made. Thank you for the call, 615-737-1045. You can join in on the conversation if you like. The NFL is not here to dictate morality. I'm not looking. This is like when Montez Sweat during like peak COVID was asked about vaccinations, and Montez Sweat regardless of your position on vaccinations, I don't care about people's positions on vaccinations. What I care about is why the hell is Montez Sweat being asked about his position on vaccinations? Like, I don't care what Montez Sweat has to say about that. I don't care. Football, basketball, baseball, soccer, whatever, hockey, that's not where I'm looking for more morality. No. If you are making your moral judgments based on something that Roger Goodell says at a podium, I would say deeply, deeply reconsider where you go about getting your sense of morality from. No, the NFL is about the business of football. And what Calvin Ridley, in the case that Chase just brought up, is directly correlating to is that directly affects the business of football. Not just the product on the field, because now you're talking about something that may or may not have altered the competitive balance of the games. Can't have that. Which is why Stephen Ross is under investigation for these alleged $100,000 handshakes that he was offering Brian Flores in the tank for two a year. But now you're talking about affecting sponsorship deals. Because the NFL has the official betting partner of the NFL, right? And if you start blurring the lines there, then is the official betting partner of the NFL going to be like, I don't know. I don't think we could be tied up in this. Let me take back my $1 billion that I've just offered to pay you for the season that you've just selected me to be able to pay you, because the NFL can pick who wants to do that. Robert in Nashville up next. Hello, Robert. Not faded up? Hello, Robert. No? Okay, going once, going twice. No good. Call us back, Robert. 615-737-1045. Oh, wait, are you still doing your position on no second chance phone calls? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, sorry, Robert. Okay. Talk to you tomorrow.
Oh, when you're doing the show and and you want to use phone calls?
Be with Rep Brian tomorrow.
Shame on you, truly. All right, more of your phone calls next.
Searching HVAC near here.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Wow, nobody local? Huh.
Wait, what? We are an HVAC company literally in your neighborhood. Why is she not seeing us?
Just all the big chains. Well, it is what it is.
What in the... Can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local HVAC providers. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
The Buck Rising Show is powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Go to springhillac.com.
Yes, indeed. Ron Slay going to be here in, well, I don't know where he's going to be. He's supposed to be on the show right now. I don't know where he is. In the meantime, we'll continue to take some phone calls. Ham is in Nashville up next. We've been talking about Deshaun Watson so far this afternoon. Hello, Ham.
Buck, what's the word?
What you got, stud?
Man, listen, man. This is what they need to go and do with Watson. I say they just let him sit out a whole 10-piece. Give him a 10-piece. and they figure the rest out. You don't expect the Browns to make the playoffs, do you?
I mean, no, I don't personally think that they can. Ron, how am I supposed to take a Deshaun Watson call when I've got my guy walking in screaming, slams his McDonald's down on the console? Don't. I'm now gonna go to you. You got half a burger in your mouth.
Oh, Rocket Top. This kind got no room.
We're playing this so he has time to chew his food.
Got no room. No room.
Unbelievable.
No room. Good old Rocket Top.
What does that mean? I love Peyton Manning? Not today. Today, Texas loves Peyton Manning.
Hey, what up, baby?
What up?
Hello, Slay.
How you doing, bud?
I'm well, bud.
You know what, man? Let me just say, man.
Please.
It's a...
Please. Yes. Let me just say what? What do you got to say to me?
Man, Buck, it's a full-time job being a father and a mentor.
Oh.
Man. I just like to, you know, give props to everybody, you know, that was celebrating Father's Day, man, you know. And, you know, I even put you in there, Buck, because I felt like you walked up the mountain with us in some aspect.
No. No. I leave you alone on that mountaintop.
Buck, you got cats.
Yeah.
You're the father of the cats.
That's okay. I'm not, I can be the cat dad. And the cat dad be a completely different thing from the Father's Day mountain that you all climb each and every one, each and every day. Every day.
Amen.
Now, we'll talk about your Father's Day escapades here in just a second. Let me answer Ham's question first. Yes, okay. Ham, I agree. Suspend him for the season. Like, just shut it down. It's enough already. Thank you for the call. 615-737-1045.
What did Ham want to know about Deshaun? Should you suspend him?
Yes.
Okay.
Because Deshaun is apparently negotiating with the league on how many games he should be suspended for. And the league said, no, I don't think so. I don't think we're going to negotiate with you.
Yeah, this is our deal.
On that particular.
It is your deal. We do our deal.
Subject. So how was your Father's Day?
It was good, man. It was good. Relaxed, man. What I found out from all the fathers, they all ended the same way, Buck. Either on the front porch or back porch. Yeah. And I think that's a great way to end it. You know, I think that's, and whether it was good or bad, you ending the night with a drink by a fire or looking at the stars or whatever. I think that's beautiful.
What did I do on Father's Day?
What did you do?
I didn't do anything, I don't think.
Should have came over my house.
Well, I mean, listen.
We went out to eat and went to the soccer game.
He don't even know what he, see, that's why you know it don't mean nothing to him, Pan. Thank you. It meant something to you, Pan.
So what are you my son in this particular situation?
Yes.
Because you're grounded. You're grounded for the foreseeable. Turn my damn microphone off again.
Yeah, Pan. Say it with me. I'm in control.
I'm the captain now.
I've always been in control.
That's right, Pan. That's right. This is your show, really.
Yeah, so
the Pan right. Rising show.
All right. All right.
Let's get
now
it.
You've gone too far. If you come for, I just started watching The Wire. If you come for the King Slay, you best not miss.
Hey, you never watched that?
No, it's the first time.
Oh, my God.
R.I.P.
Yeah. All right. We're pour one out for Bubbles today. Spoiler alert.
No, the actor that plays Omar. Oh, gosh. What's his name?
He did just
pass away recently. Yep, Incredible actor.
Mm-hmm. They use him up there in Baltimore as the. When they enter the stadium, when the players enter the stadium, you hear that old
Michael voice. Williams. Michael yep. Williams.
Williams. Michael yep. Kenneth Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Anyway. So I, for Father's Day, Lucas and our significant others went to dinner and we went to a soccer game. And then I left the soccer game because I started to feel like Dawn at the soccer game because the soccer game was terrible. It was an absolutely wretched performance.
Enough energy in there for you?
No, I got out real quick. Uh-huh. I got out real quick. But we're not here to talk about soccer.
Yes, what are we here to talk about,
bro? We're here to talk about the NBA draft tonight because I don't feel like anybody knows this is going on but you, me, and Lucas.
We might be the only one.
Oh, it's just what happened here? I spent 6 months talking about the NFL draft.
Yeah.
The NBA draft is literally tonight, and it's like people have no idea what's going on.
With homegrown Tennessee guys in it, and you would think over the last couple of years, man, with guys being taking in the draft from teams in Tennessee,
sure.
Whether it be Lipscomb, Belmont.
Yeah.
Memphis, Tennessee, TSU, like Vanderbilt. Like, it's like we got guys going in the draft.
We've produced talent as a state, or at least the state universities have produced talent. to go into the NBA draft. And this is a pretty interesting draft because, I mean, so let's just take a look at it at the top, and then we'll talk about Kennedy Chandler specifically because he's the latest to be on this list. He's probably a top, I mean, I would think that he's a top 20 pick, but we can debate that if you feel differently. I mean, is if I'm looking at Paolo Banchero, not in any particular order, Banchero, Chet Holmgren, and Jabari Smith, 1, 2, 3 in some form or fashion. Like that's the cream of the crop this year, yeah?
Yeah, I think so. And it changed for me the order of it going into college. And coming out of high school, I looked at it as Chet being number one with a bullet. Like it's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The things that he could bring to the game, the things that he can do on both ends of the floor, his IQ was off the charts to me. And then the way he showed up against guys that were projected maybe higher than him. And when he took over that number one spot, I watched the game when he played Imani Bates, his senior year, Imani Bates' junior year, national television, and he showed up and showed out. So that caught my eye, and I continued to watch him, and I thought he did the same thing. He was developed a little slower as far as giving him the keys to the team when he got to Gonzaga, but he was my clear cut. But then after watching a guy like Jabari, the things that he can do all over the floor.
Well, and especially in an offense that really didn't maximize his ability because he's a ball-dominant player and they weren't getting him the ball.
Correct. And, you know, that's Bruce Pearl's system. And that's why it's sometimes funny to see him get a guy like that can play on the wing. And that is not a normal big man that can just play the trailer spot or down low or pick and roll and do that. He can play all over the floor, but his offense is dominated by a point guard all the time. So that was funny to watch that. But then Paolo, you take Paolo, and he's you heard about him coming in, and he started to rise towards the end of the season and then getting ready to go into the college season. And then he comes out and goes bananas when they played Gonzaga and had 20 in the first half. My thing with Paolo is he's explosive early. I never got to see him really finish a game. You know, like with Jabari, you could see him, man, we're going down the stretch these last 4 minutes. He getting it every single time and take us there. Chet, he affected the game by defending on the pick and roll, switching, getting block shots, pushing it, getting a dunk, finishing the game. Paolo was a guy, man, that came out like he had that 20-point game in the first half, and then in the second half, have like 4 or 5 shots, and he may score 2 points and not as aggressive.
There wasn't that urgency that you would like to see from a top 3 pick.
Right, and I think with all 3 of those guys, he played with the most talent at Duke, so maybe they had a little bit to do with it. He had to pick his spots, but you still think when you're the alpha that we're coming to you, we're going to get the job done. And I didn't see that. So, but I think he is solidified at 3 because you cannot match a 6'10 guy that's 255, 260 that can do it all on the offensive end. Jabari, though, jumps out to me as the number one guy being able to play defense.
The Orlando Magic, by the way, have the number one overall pick in tonight's NBA draft. I'm sure that they will not botch that entirely. So Kennedy Chandler, at 19 years old, I must be honest, I was surprised to see him come out this year.
Really?
Now, not because he's not capable, and I know he put it together down the stretch for Tennessee in ways that talent was clear and obvious, and clearly he got good feedback when he decided that he was going to explore the draft process and ultimately decided to declare. But I don't know why I thought that it might be beneficial for him to stay. Maybe that's just wishful thinking because I like college basketball when guys hang out a little longer, especially in name, image, and likeness territory, because you can pay them to hang out a little longer. I think that when you look at the aversion, though, right now in the league to taking a smaller guard, that seems like it's got a bit of a stigma around it. So he strikes me as a top 20 pick by talent, but I don't know if the league is going to say, okay, he's 6 foot, right? You know, you've got to. This is a different kind of a sport that we're playing, especially when the athleticism and the evolution of it has gone off the charts and you can have 7-footers handling the ball down the court.
Yeah, I think that's that and then want and need in this particular draft. Guys looking for franchise pieces to try to take them over the hump. You know, you got a Houston with Jalen Green who has like 3 picks in the first round. I think that would be a great spot for him after Paolo would be picked. Outside of that, Orlando, they're kind of set with Markelle Fultz and guys like that they're trying to bring along.
God, what a forgotten name, Markelle Fultz.
And that's a number one pick.
That happened real quick.
Yeah, but see, that goes back
Philly,
to...
Philly, watch out, AJ. Yeah. Philly, Ben Simmons, watch out, AJ.
I mean, Andrew exactly. Wiggins was forgotten for a bit.
Yes, he was.
Assault. There's assault in the studio right now.
Hey,
we'll
man.
Have a congressional hearing on it later. Get out of here.
Call HR.
Hey,
man, so...
HR!
But this with him, I think to your point, if he were to stay, I think it would help him maybe in a sense like it did Jaden Ivey, where you handle the ball a little bit more, you kind of take a little bit more load on your shoulders as far as finishing games, which you saw with the four corners where they would give Kennedy the ball up top. But just in the mix of the offense, kind of letting it find you, I thought that would have been a little different. And then just those growing pains from learning how to play the game at that level, which would be totally different in the NBA. But he's in a situation, man, when he went to Chicago, you know how people test the waters? That was the thing I was saying. If he tested the waters, he's gone because he's going to test off the charts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's not a situation.
No, the gifts are there.
Yeah, without question. I just think it's the way the draft falls this year that's going to end up making him go 15 to 20. And that's a shame because he has top 10 lottery talent.
See, I'm looking at Ron Slay, by the way, in studio, if you didn't know. Ron Slay
know.
In the building mm-hmm. here with us on 104.5 The Zone. 3-6 at Scoreboard Bar mm-hmm. and Grill today, by the way. You can go hang out with Slay and Dawn. Is Brent not here?
No, man, he's baseball.
Okay. I was about to say, Lucas told me you guys were broadcasting at Scoreboard, and then I looked at Brent's Instagram story, and he's in St. Louis.
Yeah, he left us.
Okay. So you can go hang out with Dawn and Slay at Scoreboard. We love Scoreboard, by the way. Great. Don't eat the hot chicken, though. The Hiroshima hot chicken, I'm still sweating it out. Lucas ate it and was completely unbothered because he's disgusting.
I wouldn't think of it.
I was looking at the Athletics mock draft this morning, and they have the 29th overall pick. It's Memphis. It's the Grizzlies. And they have Kennedy Chandler there.
Wow.
And, you know, maybe it's just because I'm biased and I like the Grizz as a unit, and mm-hmm. I think they've got a lot of talent, given that the veteran on that team, the old head on that team is Steven Adams, who, shocking to me, is only 28 years old, even though he looks like, you know, some kind of giant pirate creature running mm-hmm. around on the court out there. The fit with Kennedy Chandler in an offense like that, especially with Tyus Jones being a free agent, Tyus Jones is good enough to start somewhere,
mm-hmm.
I would think. Yep. That is intriguing to me, but I don't know how it fits with Ja.
Yeah, I don't either, but I do think Ja could play off the ball and it could take a little bit more pressure off him where he could save his legs instead of getting picked up 94 feet and having to do all these things. Kind of like what Tyus does for him, but that's a veteran.
Yeah.
So to replace that, I think would be difficult. I think it would be great for the city of Memphis, the state of Tennessee. But I see him more, man. Honestly, for me, Houston at 17, knowing that they got Jalen Green on the wing, they got Paolo, they just got lost a big man. But they need guys that can get the ball and push it ahead. And we saw Kennedy do that a lot this year when the ball was outletted to him or he got the rebound, kicking it ahead to the wing. That's a lost art.
Yeah.
As simple as it may sound, you know, to be able to kick it ahead and then fill a spot.
Oh, no, it's real offense.
Yeah,
it's real offense. It's not just pull up from a three or drive. Like, it's actual. That's why I love Golden State, because they play actual offense instead of just trying to maximize bad players with efficiencies.
Right. So you got guys like him that can deliver the pass to guys up the court and let them get out and work and also can apply pressure to the defense when he's coming down. So I like Houston. I also like San Antonio at 20, man. Kind of like a Popovich, Rick Barnes type. I'm stern. You're going to do it my way, learn it this way. And then as soon as you got it, let him go and let him get busy. So I think that would be well for him. So, and coming behind a guy like DeJounte Murray, I think he could learn a lot. So, I mean, he kind of puts you in a mindset of a Tony Parker, you know, mid-range game. He has the flow game. 3 points not all the way there, but he knows how to get to his spots. Sneaky bounce. And you got to imagine in this NBA today, when you beat your man, you can get to the cup. You just got to beat the help side getting to the rim. It's not a 7-footer necessarily standing under the rim waiting on you to try to block it. You just got to beat the help side. And we saw that this year, him going up and finishing, not with a layup, but with a dunk. And that pays dividends. So, yeah, that's where I like him, with San Antonio or Houston, man. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody jumped up. It's just, man, Atlanta kind of set.
at that spot for sure.
Yeah, solid set. You know, I mean, New York would do something wild, like take somebody off.
I just
because that's what they do.
I want all the bad things for the Knicks. I'm so tired of hearing about how much better the NBA is when the Knicks are good. No, yeah. I want them to suffer.
Yeah.
If you're a Knicks fan, right. just know that and feel that from me.
Yeah, let them take that.
Just utterly incompetent across the board. Especially they're being run by an agency now. CAA is just running the Knicks.
Yeah,
which is a weird thing to see happening in professional sports nowadays.
It'd be interesting to see if Donovan Mitchell gets out of there. If he gets out of...
What do you make a Quinn Snyder just saying, nah, I'm good on the contract extension?
Hey, I'm out of here.
What is that?
He felt the rumblings.
They offered him real money.
Yeah.
And those... I mean, it's not like he doesn't get paid if he gets fired. Yeah. Like, he'll still get a bulk of that. And he just said, no, I want out of here. That was bizarre to me.
It was. And they're the only ones not in the first round. They gave their pick to Memphis. Yeah. So, I mean, it's... Don't be surprised if they make a move to get back in the first round to get somebody. So,
where do you want to see Kyrie Irving play next year?
You know, man, golly.
I'd take him in a heartbeat, even if he is just an insane person. I'd put him on my team.
Because the reward for if he does show up and go to work.
Especially if there aren't vaccination requirements. He can light the sage. He can run it around the gym if he wants. He can be a weirdo. He can be combative with the media. I don't care. He can score 35 a game for my team.
You know what, though, Buck? The only problem I have with it is KD came to Brooklyn because of you. Mm-hmm. Like, leading up to that decision, that's all it was, man. I want to play with my friend. I want loyalty to my guy. I want to show him. I want to, like, what? And for him to bounce from KD, I would be, like, I'm taking him. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm in L.A.,
no, and by the way, he's been consistent that Kevin Durant is his guy. Like, exactly. Those, both of them have been oddly consistent in that way. It's the only thing that Kyrie Irving's any kind of consistent on.
It's right.
Just a little weirdo running around. Why, you know what I mean?
It's right. But why? Why would you leave that situation? You created this situation.
Oh, but they ruined it.
They
ruined it. Like, yeah. they got the thing. Like, so this is a fascinating dynamic to me because I think we're starting to see it play out in the NFL a little bit. Like AJ and how he kind of hijacked the contract negotiations a little bit. Not quite to the extent of the NBA because it's such a smaller pool of players and they're so much bigger as individuals than NFL players are. But like they did the LeBron thing. They got control of the franchise. They're running the franchise.
Right.
And they ran it into the ground. And I'm looking at Kevin Durant. I'm thinking of Kevin Durant, weirdly. I'm thinking of Mark Jackson and Kevin Durant watching the Warriors win game 6, being like, one, Mark Jackson has to be miserable.
Oh my God.
Calling this game. And the only person more miserable than Mark Jackson calling that game is Kevin Durant because they blew it up in Golden State. Yeah, and they still won a championship before he did.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there in Brooklyn with, you know, fat James Harden and Kyrie.
Fat suit James.
Fat suit James. No, strip club James. It's not it's not a suit anymore.
Get
it's
them just dollars at James.
Ifs and fifths. You sticking around for polls?
Nah, man, I gotta get the scoreboard, man.
That's right.
Yeah, I wish. And then listen. Now my McDonald's cold, so I got to get the scoreboard to get some meat.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, thanks to you, Buck. It's a cold sandwich.
Not that far away. You going to Donaldson?
Man, that's far.
It's not that
way
far.
Way in the Upper Land?
It's not Murfreesboro.
It's far from me. No, I just came from Brentwood to here. Now I got to go to there.
Oh, look at Big Money Brentwood. His McDonald's is cold. He's been in here for 10 minutes. Right. His McDonald's is right. Cold.
And I want to give them props, man, because usually they give it to me cold. They gave it to me hot. Now it's cold because of y'all.
Well, it hadn't stopped you from eating it before. I have no doubt that McDonald's is getting eaten.
Got anything left?
There is.
Pretty hungry.
Not anymore.
I got a sandwich for you, Pam.
No. He's going to start circling the studio waiting for free food. You throw a French fry at him. He's like the Finding Nemo seagulls. Mine? Mine?
I'm leaving it. Look.
All right.
Oh, I love it.
Cheeseburger with no cheese.
Take your food.
And fries, Pam.
That's shameful.
You are the man.
Mm-hmm. Ron Slay, 3-6. Don Davenport, they're out at scoreboard today. Thank you, my friend.
That's right. We got Greg Cosell on today.
Oh, that's right. Greg Cosell. Mm-hmm. And Big Savagery. It's going to be a big time. Always a big time on 3HL.
Hey.
What?
Man, y'all make sure y'all watch Catch 98 tonight, man. Tamika Catchings, LVFL, baby.
Yes.
Y'all make sure y'all watch it, man.
I saw Dawn was down or out in Knoxville hosting that. Mm-hmm. The premiere event anyway. Is that on ESPN tonight?
It's on SEC Network.
SEC Network. Yep. We'll find out the time and we'll give that to you coming up next. Last segment of the week for me. Luke is taking over tomorrow. Rhett Bryan is co-hosting the Lucas Panzeca show, at least for what? Friday. We got a couple Lucas Panzeca shows coming up.
Friday and Monday.
Excellent. Are you, what are you guys going to talk about?
Putting a bow on minicamp storylines around the AFC South and the most improved teams in the AFC and NFC this offseason. The AFC has way more than the NFC, it would seem.
I would say that's an accurate assessment. So, if you are up for that, you got 3 hours of it on Friday and Monday because I'm going on vacation. And you should be up for it because you should support Lucas, even though he's you're supporting him and actively taking my job.
We'll also find out where Kennedy Chandler will be playing his NBA career. And I hope it's Memphis.
Yeah, that'd be swell. That'd be really cool. It's a little different than Yves Pond. Yves Pond's going to Memphis. Not that, you know, he played a decent amount of minutes for them. He's a good defensive player.
Yeah, he played a role for them this year, certainly.
But still, to have that kind of athlete playing alongside Ja Morant, I think in the Tyus Jones role would be fascinating. The NBA draft taking place tonight. Do I have any other housekeeping to do before I get out of here? No, just the polls. Do it.
Not now, Jenny. I'm on the radio. Buck Rising gave me a job. Said something about a poll update. Hope that wasn't at that club where you became a folk singer. Anyway, Buck Rising's producer and correspondent has the final poll update. I'm not a smart man, but I know who Lucas Panzeca is.
Presented by Two Rivers Ford. Custom order any new Ford from Two Rivers Ford. They'll deliver it to you once it's manufactured. Where does former Tennessee star Kennedy Chandler fall in tonight's NBA draft? 8% say top 10, 37% say top 20, 37% say top 30, and 18% say he falls out of round one.
I think he's got the talent of a top 20 pick, but I bet he doesn't go in the top 20. I think if you look at like Memphis at 22, because Memphis has two first round picks, 22 and 29.
It feels perfect.
It would be ideal, I think. I think there's a good fit there. It just depends on what else is on the board for the Grizzlies. But I would say, given that he's 6 foot, they're trending away from smaller guards that way across the league. But he's got the athletic ability of somebody. He plays much bigger than his size.
How many games will the NFL suspend Deshaun Watson for? 67% give it the whole season. 13% say 8 to 12. And 10% say 6 through 8. Also 10% saying 4 to 6.
All of them, Bob. All of the games. I don't want to say I hope so. But, like, it would be an egregious mistake to put him on the field this year after all of this, even if he wasn't on the field all of last year. Like, it's 15 months going on 16 months of this nonsense. He can't play this season.
Will Dan Snyder own the Washington Football Commander skins by the end of the season?
Did you actually write that?
I wrote it out. 55% say no.
Did anybody comment on that?
No, everybody just kind of
took it in stride.
Strolled right by it.
That sounds about right. There it is.
But 55% say no. Dan Luss says he probably will.
I'm pessimistic. I think he's going to keep the team. I think there's too much in it. I think that the NFL owners are going to keep Dan Snyder in power until such time as he decides to sell, because then he can get away from all of this stuff if he just cashes out. I don't think there's going to be any justice as far as Dan Snyder's concerned.
What is your confidence level in the Nashville Predators re-signing Philip Forsberg at this point? 54% say it's waning by the day. 29% say not going to happen. 17% are still very confident.
Yeah, David Poyle was asked about this, and he said, I'm paraphrasing here, but basically he wishes it was done already. Well, you know, who's directly in charge of that, David? That would be you.
How about this quote from David Poyle on Philip Forsberg? Am I concerned? Absolutely. It would have been very good if we could have had this done a lot earlier. There's certain things you would do or could do if Philip was signed, and now there's certain things you can't do. Now we're in a situation where we're formulating all sorts of different plans because we have to be ready for either scenario. It is not where I want it to be.
That's
as much as we've heard from Poyle on Forsberg.
And for any criticisms that I have about the organization's decision to keep Poyle in place this year, he is transparent in that kind of stuff. Now, it may also, that transparency also may serve to put pressure on Philip Forsberg and his negotiating people, or his people negotiating the contract, to kind of say, hey, get this thing done so we can move on with our day.
He's maintained we want to get it done, but that's the first time that you've seen him visibly frustrated at where they're at in those negotiations.
If he's visibly and publicly frustrated, I think are the things that make you feel pessimistic about Forsberg returning.
Should Tennessee fans be concerned about Alabama and Georgia now gunning for Nico Iamaleava after the commitment of Archie Manning to Texas? 57% say no.
I think 57 is probably an accurate number as we sit here today. It just happened. So, but I do think that both, you know, I think that there are going to be somebody's going to change their decision at some point of the top three, be it Nico, the USC commit, or Arch Manning. I do feel like that is going to come down at some point.
I think a big question is what happens with Quinn Ewers. I mean, he's Texas's quarterback probably this season, but next year Archie Manning's on campus. Is Quinn Ewers looking for his third school at that point?
Would he be able to transfer? I don't think he can.
Yeah, you can transfer. You can transfer multiple times, certainly.
All right. Well, I.
How about this? Hunter Johnson, former five-star quarterback, was committed to Tennessee at one point.
That's right.
Goes to Clemson, doesn't really pan out. Goes to Northwestern, plays okay there. Comes back to Clemson, and he's on Clemson's roster this season.
That's how you end up being Quentin Dormady, 27 years old, in a rookie minicamp for the Tennessee Titans.
He came back for his MBA and asked Dabo about being a grad assistant. And Dabo's like, "How about you just go to the quarterback room? We need some depth."
Yeah, it's like the grad assistant they had playing quarterback for South Carolina last year. We didn't get to that again today.
I pushed it to Tuesday already.
All right, very good.
Those are the polls.
That's the show. I hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. I'm going to start mine a little early. I hope you won't mind. Lucas and Rhett Bryan have you covered Friday. Lucas and Will bowling on Monday. I will be back Tuesday. You guys are in good hands until then. And hopefully I will be welcomed back when I return from vacation.
I will recommend that you be removed. I don't have the authority to remove you myself.
Thank you, Roger. Well, I would recommend that you stick around here on 104.5 The Zone for the rest of the afternoon. Blaine and Mickey got you coming up next. 3HL after that at Scoreboard Bar and Grill. I'll see you guys on Tuesday.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.